Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here as we continue to celebrate 9 years of the Small Business Advocate Show. And I know you guys are having parties all over the world right now, aren't you? You're planning your big Small Business Advocate parties all around the world to help me celebrate. I know about all these things. Anyway, it's good to have you here. Good to be back with you. And I'm excited about Karen Kerrigan being back on the show, ladies and gentlemen. Karen was one of the very first guests. I think she was probably on the show within a couple of weeks of our first broadcast. She is my good friend. I always joke and say that she's, even though she's a lot younger than me and a whole lot smaller than me, she's like a big sister to me because she's up there in Washington, D.C. She's toiling away in the fields for small business. Nobody does more for small business than Karen Kerrigan. She's the president of the Small Business and Entrepreneurship Council. And more importantly, she's our good friend. Karen, welcome back to the show.
Oh, congratulations on another successful year.
Thank you.
And it's terrific to be here. I was sort of laughing at the lead up to our discussion, because every time I seem to be on this show or provide some type of analysis of what's going to happen in the future, you always play that song Jump.
That's right.
You might as well jump.
That's right. Do you feel like jumping these days, Karen?
No. But it's just, you know, my weird sense of humor, Jim.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
My sick sense of humor.
I know. That's what we like about you, Karen. But there are some people who are jumping, and for a lot of different reasons in Washington these days, aren't there?
You've got a new power structure that's been established or trying to get established. I'm very interested. This is Pelosi's first big test, and
she doesn't have the leadership yet. Harry Reid is confirmed in the Senate.
Oh, they're done.
The House is, there may be a little tussle over in the House.
There is the Hoyer versus Murtha fight, and if you believe the papers, and it looks like Hoyer, Steny Hoyer, will get that position
as the leader,
right?
The majority leader. She's going to be the Speaker of the House, right?
She'll be Speaker. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, because that's slow down a minute. The majority leader is chosen by, if I'm not mistaken, Karen, is chosen by the Democrats, but the Speaker of the House is a constitutional thing. Isn't that chosen by the entire Congress?
It is.
So the Republicans could actually, if they, I don't know that it's ever been done before, they could actually vote against her, couldn't they?
Well, yeah, but that's not going to happen.
You don't think it's going to happen?
No, I don't think that's going to happen. I mean, she's going to be the Speaker. Why wouldn't they want her to be Speaker?
I was going to say, she could be the Republicans' best player, couldn't she?
She could. And, if they want to continue to, point towards, her type of policies. And, clearly, this fight, I think, is very interesting as it's being played out. This is what happens in politics. Even though she wants Murtha, Hoyer was out there in the trenches, actually helping candidates, raising tons of money, and that means a lot, when it comes to, that type of work in the field and that hard work in terms of building up those loyalty chips for spots like that. So, anyway, that's going to be, I don't know if that's going to matter next year, in terms of, someone sort of said it was like a high school, type of
a dysfunctional high school. I heard someone say that.
Yeah. That's right. And is
I
it going to matter? But then again, it does show these fissures, and it does show these divisions, and the you know, the conservative Democrats have put their weight behind Hoyer. So it's going to be very interesting how she handles all this. You know, Trent Lott wrote that book, Herding Cats. Mm-hmm. You know, about his experience in the Senate. Well, you've got a lot more of those
in
the House.
Yeah, and there are a lot more feral cats in the House than there are in the Senate. Karen, let's talk about small business and what the new Congress and the new leadership in Congress could mean for small business. The first thing out of Nancy Pelosi's mouth prior to and to give her credit for being honest about this prior to the election and immediately after the election and probably every day since, the first thing out of her mouth is we are going to raise the federal minimum wage.
That's it. I mean, that's a foregone conclusion. It's going to happen. We know for sure she's got enough Republicans to support that.
Because they don't have any backbone.
Yeah, and you know, historically, minimum wages hikes have passed overwhelmingly by both parties.
Yeah. Because we elect people to the Congress who don't understand how the economy works.
Yeah, but you know, you're talking about if you do a 7.25 rate in one fell swoop.
Yeah.
That's going to be a harsh impact.
That's
you know,
it,
not everyone
is.
Lives in San Francisco or Chicago where maybe they're used to paying these types of starting wage rates. But, you know, out in
Sheboygan, yeah.
Out in everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, particularly for service businesses and seasonal employees and restaurants, that's a lot of money.
Well, here's the rest of the story,
yeah.
Karen. And you know this very well. It's not just a matter of the minimum wage for those who earn minimum wage, but so many union contracts are tied to the minimum wage.
Right.
So if minimum wage goes up $2, their wages, when they're already making $18 an hour, their wages go up $2.
Right.
And that's the reason why they're so committed to minimum wage, because it touches so many people. But here's the problem. It doesn't create 1%, 1/10 of 1/1,000,000 of a percent of new production. All it does is raise expenses, which is essentially a tax increase.
It does. And then, you know, people who run businesses, you know, look at what they'd be paying in wages, you know, over the long term and say, well, how can we invest in technology or how can we invest
in
things, you know, to make us more efficient. But not only just union wages are tied to that. I mean, it's wage pressure across the board.
Right. Exactly.
And, you know, that begins to put on every single wage level.
That's a good point, Karen. And it affects small businesses. Because if the brand new person who doesn't even know where the bathroom is now making as much money as a person who's been there for a year, because of government fiat, that creates bad morale, and it creates two raise increases, wage increases, not just one. Stand by, Karen. We're going to come back and talk about health care right after these messages with our good friend Karen Kerrigan. Stay with us.
Happy anniversary, baby. Got you on my mind. Happy anniversary, baby. Got you on my mind.
Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me today. We're having a great visit with our good friend Karen Kerrigan, who's helping us celebrate our 9th anniversary. Folks, you've heard me talk about Karen and the Small Business and Entrepreneurship Council many times before. I like talking about them, even when they're not here. Karen and Ray Keating and the others over there at the SBE Council. And as you've heard me say before, pound for pound, nobody does more for small business than these folks do. And Karen, again, I just have to say again, once on behalf of small business owners and all that you do for us, we thank you. And I want you to give us the website, please.
Oh, yes, absolutely. It's sbecouncil.org, sbecouncil.org. You know, one of the latest things people might want to check out is our Small Business Survival Index that ranks the states for mm-hmm. how small business friendly the policy environment is in your state. And that is such a popular report that Ray Keating, our chief economist, does every year. It's our 11th annual report. And, of course, it's getting widespread media coverage.
Right.
But check that out, because that's a good tool for you to use back in your state with your state legislators and your governors to say, hey, look at, you know, look what Alabama's doing, or look what Texas is doing in terms of capital gains, income taxes, death taxes. You know, we got to be a more small business friendly state because, you know, capital and labor move. I mean, not only around the world, but certainly on a domestic basis as well.
Well, you know, I was in, I was speaking to the an entrepreneurship educators group a couple of weeks ago out in Phoenix, and I was listening to some of the meetings, sitting in on some of the meetings out there, and a lady from Iowa said that they determined that they didn't have an entrepreneurial culture in Iowa. And I encouraged her to go to raise to your report, your index, and see why I wound up not looking it up, but I don't know where Iowa stack ranks and all that.
Oh, they're bad. They're down on the.
I was thinking that they were, but the thing is, I told her, I said, if you go to that index, you can see delineated. The areas that are causing problems in Iowa.
That's right.
So, as I say, I talk about you guys even when you're not here. And, of course, Ray is on the show regularly, especially every time he releases the new index. Karen, I'm anxious. Okay, so it's a foregone conclusion that minimum wage is going to be raised. So small business owners, gird your loins. Buckle your seatbelts. I'm telling you, it's coming. And I predicted last week, Karen, that by May 1st, at the latest, we would have a new minimum wage increase enacted into law. Talk to us about health care, small business health plans, Senator Mike Enzi's program in the Senate, it's already passed the House. It won't have to go back through the House again, will it?
Oh yeah. I mean,
really?
you're talking the new Congress. They're not going to.
So everything goes back to zero.
Everything, yeah. We're back to the starting block.
Then we can forget about it.
Well. Yeah, I mean, even though in the House you had, 30 or 40 Democrats who supported small business health plans and, you know, perhaps presumably more, who have won these Republican seats, still you've got, you know, the leadership and the committee chairs who have their own idea of what small business health plans or affordable health coverage should look like. And, you know, when it comes to the Democrats, what we can look to is their alternative plan that they put up to the small business health plan legislation in the House. And that is more of a, you know, more of a government-centered type of effort, meaning that small businesses can buy into, you know, the government's federal employee health plan for some tax credit that they'll get in return. But mind you, the federal employee health plan is extremely expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to buy into that plan to get the tax credit, you know, there's a mandate, there's a quid pro quo, meaning that, you know, you have to cover everyone, you have to cover part-time employees, you have to, you know, have gold-plated plans as opposed to something that might be less expensive. So from our perspective, this government-driven, you know, type of initiative is not going to be affordable for small businesses. We don't think they'll buy into it because it's still too expensive.
That's right. Well,
even with the tax credit to offset those higher expenses.
I've got something else I was going to say, Karen, but before we do, I've got about a minute and a half. Anything in particular besides what we've already talked about that you want to make sure we get in before you have to go?
Well, I think on the tax front, you know, that's another thing where we're really not going to see any forward movement. I mean, it looks
like... How about
like
backward movement?
Possibly, because, you know, everyone forgets that if you want to pay for AMT reform like Charlie Ringel wants to, that's going to be, quote-unquote, expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know...
But that wouldn't be a bad thing, would it, if we could get rid of AMT, alternative minimum tax?
Well, we're not going to get rid of it because...
He's not going to get rid of it?
No,
he's not going to abolish it?
Only for the middle class, but define middle class. Is it someone making $50,000 or more or $60,000 or more? You know, in an income area like Northern Virginia, I mean, that's nothing.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So we got to watch out for those things. I mean, the conventional wisdom is they won't raise taxes before the 2008 elections, but hey, you know, as Charlie Rankle says, that's a long way off and anything can happen. So that works both ways.
What do you think? Do you think that the Democrats will play nice during the next 2 years to make sure they get someone in the White House? Or do you think their true colors will come out in terms of you know, the way Republicans' true colors apparently came out?
Well, you know, it's defining whether you're doing an investigation or whether you're doing oversight. And they've made it clear they're going to do investigations, which really are oversight, which is not bad.
So it's,
but it depends upon the tenure and what they decide to focus on.
Sounds like it's going to be an ugly 2 years. Hey, Karen, thank you for being here. Good job
today. Happy anniversary.
Thank you. Karen Kerrigan, ladies and gentlemen, that's sbecouncil.org. I encourage you to support them and to check out their website. It's good stuff. Quick break. Right back with Gary Moore. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.